You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday 9 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Jimmy Moyoha, we're going to touch on the Capitec update a bit light, and then Sanlam results. I chat with Capital Legacy MD, the need for a will and a letter for when you're dead. And then some thoughts on GDP data showing really strong numbers in the restaurant and hospitality sectors. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Starting a bank isn't cheap. Just ask a Discovery. Startup costs so far 10 billion rand. Business day, rand at two-year low amid surprise at current account shortfall. There was an 87 billion ZAR shortfall in the current account. Totally unexpected. Everyone was expecting a positive balance, and this certainly strengthens argument for more interest rate hikes, although I think that argument was quite strong already. Morning markets, the US was green, S&P up 0.3%, NASDAQ up 0.5%. Asia, green, Sydney up 0.4%, and Tokyo up 0.5%. Commodities, also green. Gold, 1,731. Brent, 89.73. Platinum, 874. Palladium, $2,114 an ounce. Rand, 17.35. Bitcoin, 19,700. Top 40 opening call, big open, about 570 points. That's almost 1% to the upside. And that is Tencent trades up 1.7% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Jimmy Moyoha. Jimmy, I appreciate the early morning time. Just a very, very simple trading update from Capitec yesterday. Didn't say a heck of a lot. What it did say, though, is that they expect headline earnings to be around 40 rand per share. That's for the half year. Market was looking for around 90 rand for the full year. In other words, it came in light, and well, the market was not happy, and it was selling quite aggressively.
Yeah, I mean, the update itself, I mean, we'll know more when the results are actually released, but the update does give sort of guidance around where we are from a full year expectation point of view. And with Capitec being such a strong growth stock in the banking sector in recent times, the focus there has always been to measure how strong that growth is. And I mean, this is an indication that that growth might be slowing down. But of course, we'll only really know in greater detail when they give us those numbers. I mean, if you look at some of their competitors, yes, we've seen really good numbers out of guys like Standard Bank, guys like APSA as well. Mm-hmm. And we did expect something similar from Capitec. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at the Capitec's performance in recent years, you do almost get the sense that at some point this might start to slow down. I mean, they are one of the most innovative banks at the moment, and they have been able to capture such a large percentage of the market share, particularly in the segments that they operate in, and the LSM groups that they're targeting. But eventually this is sort of normal to sort of expect that this might happen. And I mean, if they at the end of the year, instead of hitting 90 rand, get to sort of 85 rand, maybe 87 rand, maybe the market might not be as hard on them as they were now. I think the sell-off, the share was down, almost 10% overnight. So the sell-off is just an indication of how tense the situations are within the markets. I mean, the expectation around markets and around stocks is so much more important and more critical at the moment. And I think we should probably wait until we get the full year guidance and that sort of thing before we are too quick to give this number for Capitec. You must remember, they also booked in, what was it, a 600% increase in their headline earnings was what, just under four billion rand, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. So they are doing fairly well. I mean, they might not be doing as well as we want them to do, but they are still doing fairly well as a business.
Now, that's a fair point. I mean, let's be clear, that 40 Rand is 20% up, which is a big number. All the other banks were, I mean, they were coming in that zone, of course, base effect. And of course, it's weird because Capitec's got different period ends, which makes things a little more complicated. Sanlam was proper good old fashioned results, 6 months ending 30 June. A lot that we knew was coming. I mean, the floods in KZN back in April. But on the flip side, lower mortality as we move out of the pandemic. This is a share that's you know, pretty much trading, not quite at the pandemic lows, but, you know, pandemic lows were, what, 46 or so. The share's at, like, 54.
Yeah, so it's not all the way at pandemic lows, but like you said, I mean, there's a lot to take into account for a company like Sanlam, particularly with the amount of claims that went through, not just around the KZN flooding, but around the general insurance claims that they've experienced. I mean, they've been dealing with claims essentially since the COVID disruption to businesses. So it's not just recent times. I mean, you have to look at the fact that it's the KZN flooding took place sort of this year. Last year we had the civil unrest. The year before that we still had the pandemic. So it's been a significant period of time of dealing with a lot of claims and having to process and pay out a lot of claims, which is essentially, I mean, where you expect an insurance company to be in the midst of all of this. But I think it's also the fact that it's sort of holding above those pandemic lows is an indication that they do have some strength within them as a business. They are able to weather this, and notwithstanding any future immediate claims and that sort of thing, which they don't anticipate coming up, obviously, the business could start to show signs of recovery. I mean, once they're able to get through all the claims, process all the claims, they can then reassess their book and see what it is they need to adjust and optimize in terms of their clients and ensuring that their clients are covered going forward. But I think this is very much in line with what we're expecting from a lot of the insurers at this stage.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And there were some small little bits in there as well, like they had larger crime claims. And of course, the key thing is that they've got equity markets, and if there's not much there, well, you know, not much performance in that, that then struggles. And we'll leave it there. That's Jimmy Moaha. And on a programming note, I am on holiday next week, and Jimmy will be standing in Monday to Friday next week. Jimmy, have fun.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Brandon Gobbett. He is Capital Legacy MD. Brandon, appreciate the time today. September, Wolves Month, and most importantly, next week is Wolves Week. We'll get to that in a moment. First, the stat that really stands out is that more than 70% of South Africans don't have a will, which means when you pass away, I mean, truthfully, it just becomes a complicated mess.
Yes, Simon, first of all, thanks a lot for the time and the space to be able to talk to you and the listeners and readers. Yeah, I mean, this has been Capital Legacy's mission for the last 10 years is to make sure that more South Africans actually have an up-to-date signed will and in safe custody. As you just mentioned, that stat is astronomical and really scary when you actually put it as a number. And I don't think people really understand the consequence, which I'm sure we're going to get into just now, of actually not having a will in place when it comes to your passing and what you want to do with either distribution of your assets or actually just looking after your kids, especially if they're minors. So this has really been a passion of us for the past 10 years of actually not just making sure that their wills are done, but actually educating people of the importance.
And I mean, who does decide? Because obviously a will is you know, what I want done with my assets after my passing. Absent of a will, who makes that decision? I mean, is it the Master of the Supreme Court? Is it the executor?
Yeah, so, you know, first going back to the first statement, I actually always say is, is why haven't people sort of done wills? And I always call it, you know, South Africans have the Superman complex where, you know, it's never going to happen to me. And it's, you know, people don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, let's get my will done.
Mm.
But the importance around it of why we're trying to educate people is if you actually pass away without a will, you actually pass away what you call as intestate.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually happens then is the master will then appoint an outside executor. Now, remember, the executor stands in basically as the person who's passed away to say, how will these assets be distributed?
Mm.
And if you have someone who's appointed who doesn't know the family, doesn't know the history, doesn't know the minors, it's very difficult to actually sort of distribute that because you don't know the history of the family.
Yeah.
And what you might have wanted is not what this outside executor is going to do. Also, secondly, if you don't actually have a will in place, is we actually the assets have to be distributed by a law in South Africa, which is the law of succession. And that's a stipulated line of succession in terms of the way the assets will be distributed. And that's not maybe what your intention was. You know, it might go to a family member that you actually didn't want to.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that is it. That's why a will is so important because, remember, that's the last time you can say, this is what I want to see happen to my estate when I actually go. And that's why setting up a will, you actually get to put in there who you actually want as the executor. Who do you actually want as the guardian to look after if you have minors? That's why it's so important.
Yeah, got you. And then there's the next point, and I've always talked about it. So the will's the important component, and that's around your assets and your wishes and your like. And then there was what I've referred to as a letter for when I'm dead. Of course, we're moving into the modern age. It becomes digital these days. But that's things, for example, passwords, my social media accounts. I might have Bitcoin in some dodgy exchange that no one's ever heard of. And you know, that, and even just, I mean, do I want to be cremated? This can go into a will, but then changing it becomes a process. Much easier to have it as sort of outside the will, something that you can manage.
Yeah, so what we often – well, what we actually encourage people to do is you've got your will, which, you know, what we really actually hate at Capital Legacy is where guys always want to overcomplicate wills.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, it's because I've got such a large estate. It doesn't actually have to be that way. A will can be very simple in terms of the way you want to distribute your assets. What I often encourage people to do is to have a page of last wishes. Now, last wishes are not legally binding, but at least it gives guidance to the executor in terms of how you'd want things to be done. So things such as family heirlooms, paintings, jewelry, your passwords, as you've just mentioned now, from a crypto point of view, which is a large gray area at the moment, especially with SARS. You know, that's part of the whole process of doing a will is then to obviously attach your last wishes to say, these things that don't form my large assets such as property and vehicles and cash assets and things, but actually they're really important to me. It actually just guides executives to say the deceased actually would like this possession to go to this person.
Mm.
Because, I mean, it's quite funny when we actually – well, it's not funny, but it's a realism – is that when we wind up estates, the family feuds that happen, it's not actually the large things that they actually fight over. It's these small items that actually are, you know, like it comes down to like, you know, like a coffee table.
Mm.
Like that's the big fight. It's actually not the distribution of the assets. It's about the coffee table.
Yeah,
and that's why when you're doing a will, it's so important to have that. And then just guide us with the last wishes.
Yeah, those things of sentimental value, no actual real value. I mentioned up front, it's Wills Month in September. Next week, starting Monday, is Wills Week, where participating firms essentially will draft a will for you for no charge.
100%. And the Law Society, when they launched this, it's a fantastic initiative where they launched Wills Week, whereby you can go to sort of any law firm who subscribes to Wills Week, and they would have drafted the will for you for no cost. We, as I said, we applaud the initiative, but what we did at, or what we've done at Capital Legacy is we said maybe a week's a bit too short.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually championed Wills Month, where we actually just encourage people to, when you've been procrastinating about the will, this is the month to actually do it. You should be doing your will at any time, okay, to get it done, but we really kind of promoting, educating, and saying, if you're going to do your will this year in 2022, September's the month to do it. And that's where you'll see a lot of campaigns around education about the will to really get people to, as I say, put this or tick this off on your checklist and say that this is done as part of your financial planning.
Yeah, get it in place, make sure. And as you say, I mean, no one's waking up in the morning planning to die, but unfortunately, that is ultimately what will happen. We need the word in place. We'll leave it there. That's Capital Legacy MD, Brendan Gobbett. Really appreciate the time today.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
We chatted lots about Tuesday's GDP data, which of course came in negative. And truthfully, it's likely to be another rough quarter three and maybe even four, a recession and potentially negative for the year as a whole. But the one piece that really stood out to me, quarter on quarter, 6.2% growth reported by the restaurant and hospitality sectors. And we've certainly seen lots of anecdotal around that. I was on dinner on Wednesday and the restaurant was packed. Someone on Twitter, when I was talking around this, Philip, was commenting his mother works in the travel industry and they're just struggling to find accommodation in the sort of high-end lodges and the like. I'm on holiday next week and Kruger is full. It's chock-a-full. And we've seen there's a disconnect and you think, you know, but who are these people? And it's a small slice of the employed higher LSM. Spur in their results talked around how really they're only targeting the 18% of sort of high-end economically active. Wayne McCurry has talked repeatedly around a two-tier economy in a sense where you've got, it's actually probably three tiers, unemployed populace who are on social grants at best. You've got the employed but really struggling. And then again, that top end. So we're going to see it come through in, for example, the Spur results. And I really liked those results. And if they can push their margins higher, and they've got a way to go, but their margins are sort of way below the longer term average. And as they can get those margins higher, of course, that'll then just flow straight to the bottom line and profitability. Casinos, absolutely. Again, anecdotal evidence that casinos are busy. They are packed. So we'll see there. Soho Gaming, of course, we saw it with the Sun International results. And then, to a degree, we'll start seeing it with the hotel groups as well. They will start to click through. The question is, does it last? I mean, is this a sort of flash in the pan and it's all going to fall apart? I think from one perspective, there is the risk. This is the sort of pandemic pent-up demand. But it comes back to that sort of two-tier economy, which Wayne McCurry talks around, which Spur mentions in their results. And I think in that sense, we need to look at South Africa, unfortunately, via that lens of their two parts of the economy, rather than look at it as that just that 30% unemployment number, which is a horror. But from an investor perspective, there is a part of the economy out there, and they're out there, and they're spending. That's it for today. I was chatting with Wayne McCurry yesterday and we were talking around the third Tiger Brands recall. Remember we had the Koo Beans last year. We had Listerosis 5 years ago. This week we've got baby powder, which apparently might have traces of asbestos in it. And the question you asked was quite simple. Does Tiger Brands have a quality control problem? And the answer from 90% of you was, yeah, it absolutely does. And the evidence is absolutely there. Wayne McCurry's suggestion was interesting. Maybe there's a space to sort of break the company in half extract some value from those brands and then kind of leave the manufacturing. But I worry about their brands as well. The ginger biscuit. Do we really need to pay that much for ginger biscuit? Or to my earlier point, perhaps the well-off people will, and everyone else can just go and eat a sort of bog standard ginger biscuit. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. I am off next week, but Jimmy will be standing in.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.